It's Andy Park live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. And I'm joined by Washington Times reporter Patrick Ruby, who has something in the paper today. It's entitled, American Caffeine Addiction Races Full Speed Ahead. You got to read this because, like me, you probably won't believe it. Good afternoon, Patrick. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. All right, let's get right into it. The Aeroshot Caffeine Inhaler. Surely you can't be serious.
I am completely serious. This is a new product. It is actually invented by a Harvard professor who previously invented breathable chocolate, but we won't get into that one now. Basically, this is what it sounds like. It looks like a little chapstick tube. You put it in your mouth. You squeeze it, and you get about 40 milligrams of caffeine, lime-flavored caffeine, almost like an asthma inhaler. So forget coffee, forget Mountain Dew, forget 5-Hour Energy. Now you can just walk around and squirt, and there you go. You're fixed.
That's amazing. Now, what has the reaction been to this, whether it come from a government source or from doctors? Is this thing okay?
Well, here's the thing. I haven't heard anything from doctors saying this is bad or unsafe, but Senator Chuck Schumer up in New York in December, he actually wrote a letter to the FDA expressing concern that basically this is going to be used as a party drug, a party enhancer. It might be dangerous to sell to children. I think his concern was that they're going to be using this to get their caffeine buzz and then drinking at the same time or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, as I wrote my piece today, the thing is that the caffeine horse in this country is way out of the barn. I mean, it's probably at Starbucks at this point. I mean, we're completely addicted to caffeine and other sort of energy enhancers in this country.
Yeah. I remember, I know it's been at least, 8-10 years, being in Las Vegas one night, walking into a bar and watching people drinking, I don't know if it was Red Bull, but it was some type of energy drink. Every single one of them ordered either vodka or gin or some type of alcohol with the energy drink. And I was thinking, man, oh, man, this is all about getting this big boost. And it's something that I hadn't seen before, and now it's an everyday occurrence.
I think you're right. I mean, alcohol is a depressant. We need uppers even with our downers in this country. I mean, you've got Starbucks on every corner. And trust me, Starbucks coffee, if you look at the caffeine content, it's higher than its competitors. That's one of the reasons Starbucks does so well. We've got caffeine spike chewing gum. We've got those ubiquitous 5-hour energy shots. We've got energy drinks. In fact, energy drink sales, just between 2010 and 2011, during a recession, an ongoing recession, during a time where energy drink sales are flat, sales for energy drinks rose 30%. The average American takes in 300 milligrams of caffeine a day. That's the equivalent of 3 no-dose pills. And the Army, you know what the Army is working on? This is hysterical. They're working on caffeinated meat for our soldiers.
Oh, my God.
So we are, I'm telling you, Andy, we are hooked.
Isn't that amazing? All right, one of the things you mentioned is a Mountain Dew Double Gulp. What is that?
Well, Mountain Dew Double Gulp is really if you just go to 7-Eleven and you get, like, the Double Gulp-sized drink. You can fill it with Mountain Dew. So that would give you 64 ounces of Mountain Dew. Now, I don't, off the top of my head, know how much exactly the caffeine content is of that, but I can tell you this about Mountain Dew. There is a really funny and interesting lawsuit currently going on. There's a guy that claims to have found a dead mouse in his Mountain Dew can. He sued Pepsi for this. Pepsi owns Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
As part of the defense, the attorneys for Pepsi argued that Mountain Dew would have dissolved the dead mouse into a jelly-like substance. And I put that in quotes, jelly-like substance. And this is one of the drinks we're putting into ourselves all the time to sort of get our energy fix.
Hey, my son lived on that stuff when he was in college.
Right. All sorts of college kids, video gamers that are playing all night, people cramming for exams. I mean, it's an extreme sport. It's a really popular drink sort of among that crowd.
And
also something that, according to the company's own lawyers, dissolves dead mice into jelly.
That's so gross. All right. Do we know what caffeine does to the body?
You know, here's one of the things, you know, in small, everyone, to get into sort of the medical side of things, I mean, everyone has their own sort of individual tolerance for it. This is what experts tell me. So you have to sort of figure that out on your own. In general, small doses are thought to be relatively harmless, if not completely harmless. And what it really does, it blocks, there's a chemical in your body. It's called, and I might not pronounce this right, but andosine. And it basically tells your brain, hey, you're tired. Shut things down. It's time to sleep. It's time to rest.
Right.
Caffeine blocks this chemical, so you feel less fatigue. It also causes your body to release more adrenaline, which gives you the famous caffeine buzz.
Yeah.
So in a way, and I read it for the piece, it's kind of like the performance-enhancing drug for the rest of us. It's a little bit of a mood and cognitive stimulant. It's a little bit like a brain steroid.
Huh. That's really interesting. Now, some say, don't worry, you know, because coffee's been around forever and a day and people aren't dying from caffeine. You even mentioned, I think, that coffee shops started in the 1500s?
It did. Coffee shops actually started in the Middle East in the 1500s. They were immediately banned, but then the ruler of Egypt, who was in charge, was basically like, no, we're not going to have this banned. The reason was he was a coffee drinker himself. So he wanted to get his fix, too. But one of the really interesting things about sort of the history of coffee and tea and caffeine is that a lot of people have argued, and pretty smartly, that caffeine basically brought about the Enlightenment and put an end to the Dark Ages. Now, follow me for a second. Before coffee spread from the Middle East to Europe, before tea sort of spread from Asia to Europe, the basic European diet was heavily stuffed in beer and alcohol. I mean, you couldn't really drink water. It wasn't really safe. So people were working. They were drinking like a soupy beer, sun up to sun down. So they were, you know, they were sluggish. They weren't thinking very clearly. They were, you know, a little bit drunk all the time. You replace that with coffee, people are more social. People have more energy. People talk more. I mean, out of those coffee shops comes the Enlightenment. Out of that sort of mindset comes, you know, the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
It sounds like a stretch, but honestly, there's something to that.
Yeah, that's very funny. Just the thought of everyone being a little drunk all the time.
Right.
I love the line, too, in your piece, One Nation Under a Buzz.
That's what we are. I swear that should be on our national seal. We can replace the bald eagle with a Starbucks cup.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, folks, you got to read it. It's in the Washington Times today. American Caffeine Addiction Races Full Speed Ahead. It's by Patrick Ruby. It's great to talk to you. We'll do it again. Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks for having me on. Anytime.
See you later.